Today, it's our privilege to have one of our local boys who made good, Daryl and Lori Jinks, with us today. We've supported them for many, many years. And so you know them as well as I know them, and probably better. And it's always a privilege to have them in our company. And we rejoice with having you guys. We look forward to hearing what the Lord's been doing in your lives. So if you'll come and share with us.
There's probably a few here that don't even know what that, what you're referring to there. With that statement. I graduated from Faith Baptist Bible College in 1985. In the fall of 1984, I thought I had figured out what God wanted for me. It's one of those times in your life where I thought I knew what God wanted for me. And I was serving as a youth pastor at First Baptist Church in Brayton. And so we were involved in ministry there at Brayton. Our first few years of ministry at Brayton, Brayton did not have an Awana Club. Cumberland did not have an Awana Club. But there was a work over in Anita that had an Awana Club. And the three churches together worked together and had Awana together. And we would travel in every Monday night, if I remember right, for Awana. So we were kind of working together. That is back a while ago. And during that time of serving as a youth pastor at First Baptist Church in Brayton, I was working for a publishing house in Atlantic. And after working with that company for a while, honestly, I was working through my devotions, and I came to Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 is, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of thy heart. I was working at a publishing house, and I really enjoyed what I did working for that company. And I would... I struggled with that passage of scripture because as I was, delight thyself in the Lord and He will give thee the desires of thy heart. Well, I was enjoying what I was doing working for a pre-press publishing house and never thought that that was where God was directing in my life. I thought I had the whole world figured out at that point in time. It was during working for that publishing house, we had a special week of meetings at our church, and the evangelist said to me, he says, Daryl, have you ever considered doing what you're doing, working for a secular company, doing that for a Christian organization, a Christian publishing house? And I said, no, I really haven't thought about that. One of the first things that went through my mind was, if it's missionary work, that would require deputation, and I'm going to stay away from that. I don't want to go down the deputation road. But the Lord continued to work in Lori and my heart, and then we were introduced to a ministry called EBI, Editorial Batista Independiente, which is a Spanish publishing ministry in Sebring, Florida. All right, Lori. Our ministry exists to help the local church in fulfilling the Great Commission. And how can our ministry help in fulfilling the Great Commission? It does it by a number of different ways, by publishing, by distributing, by training, sound doctrine teaching, so that people can have a better understanding of the Word of God. And we heard about this ministry, and then God began to work in our lives and said, I want you to be a part of this ministry. And over the years, God has worked in our lives. And we are located in Sebring, Florida. And I've talked to Pastor a little bit about he has given some indication that there may be some interest in a missions trip at some point in time. I would love to see you on a missions trip. I will say that one of the big problems with that I see is a lot of our bigger projects that we are pushing through the ministry at EBI. We are outsourcing more and more a number of the little jobs, the 300, 500, and 1,000 printing. We still do in-house, so there's not as much the little projects that we have going on. But our building is the footprint of our building is about 5,000 square feet. So if it's if you had both floors throughout the whole building, it would be a building of about 10,000 square feet. This is the building that God has given to us. If you stepped inside our front door, the first thing that you would see is a little bit of a display. Not too much of our material goes out the door by people coming through our display. We do have the display there, but almost everything that goes out the doors of EBI comes in web, on the internet orders, or I'm going to talk in a few minutes about our distribution system that we have set up. As you know, what is EBI? EBI is a publishing ministry that is producing gospel literature in Spanish. The one of the books that we have produced is Dr. Roland McCune's Systematic Theology. We found that there wasn't a really good systematic theology that had been translated into Spanish. And when we decided to do this project, we thought, you know, that there would be a few missionaries and a few Bible institutes that would want this systematic theology. And so in the English, it's three volumes, and in Spanish, it's a single volume, hardbound book. And we've had the privilege of having this book for about 2.5 years that we've had this book available, and we have just started now into our second printing of this book. We're excited about what God is doing in using this great tool for pastors, missionaries, and Bible institutes all throughout Latin America are using Dr. Roland McCune's systematic theology. One of the perks of working at EBI is many times we get to meet some of these authors. I don't know if any of you have had if you've ever had the opportunity to hear him speak. He spoke at Faith a few times, but he was out of the Detroit. What's it called? It's Detroit Theological Seminary. I'm not sure I have the name exactly right, but that's where the seminary that he was out of. Very, very, very gifted servant of God, and we really enjoyed having him come to Sebring a number of different times. And he was he's got an incredibly funny sense of humor as well.
Can I ask last week? Can I ask again? You said you're on the second printing. How many have you
done? We did. The first printing was 1,000, and which they're allowed to go 10% over. So I think it was about 1,100 books that have gone out, the second printing, we were really waiting. There was about 50 or 60 of those that were sold before they came in on that second printing. So we're excited about what God is doing and using that book. One of the other big projects that we have done at EBI is Dr. Warren Wiersbe's in the English. It's called the B Series. This one is on the book of Ephesians. In English, this one is called Be Rich. If it was on the book of Philippians, it's Be Joyful. And all of the different be adjectives as in Dr. Wiersbe's book. We did these all one book at a time. And then once we got through the entire New Testament, then we produced one single volume, hard volume book. Dealing with the authors, we've had the opportunity to deal with Dr. Wiersbe through the years, both. McCune and Wiersbe are now with the Lord, but I related a story with Tom and Doreen after the service last week. See, Tom and Doreen are my groupies. They were at Clear Lake with me last week. And so they kind of follow me. I'm in Northern Indiana next week. Dr. Wiersbe, a funny story about Dr. Wiersbe. We have all of these books in English that we've taken from English and in Spanish and printed, and our director at EBI was doing this pastor's conference in Mexico City. And as he traveled to Mexico, the people down there were asking, well, who is coming to this conference? And the missionary said, it's the director of the company that produces the books that we like, the B series books that we like. The people recognized the books and said, oh, Dr. Wiersbe is coming to Mexico City. So one of the guys from the church in Mexico City went and had this shawl thing, a sarape, and had etched into the sarape the name Wiersbe into this thing, and they brought this to the missionary and said, when he is here, we want to honor him and give him this sarape. Well, then they had to say, well, it's not Dr. Wiersbe that's coming, it's the director of EBI that's coming. Well, when our director, Bruce, was there, he took the sarape and he said, I promise you that we will do everything that we can to take that and find Dr. Wiersbe and get that to him. So shortly after he came back from that conference, we found Dr. Wiersbe. At that point, he was still living in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I had my son-in-law and Stacy. They took a weekend, and I sent the sarape to them in Des Moines or in Grimes, and then they took it out to Lincoln and delivered it to Dr. Wiersbe. And Dr. Wiersbe was so gracious. He had a great, he's had an incredibly funny sense of humor, but they had a great visit with him. And Stacy and Aaron, he said, well, would you like to see my library? Okay? So he takes Stacy and Aaron down in the basement of his house, and in the basement, and Stacy goes, I've been in public libraries that were smaller than this. The basement of his library was completely filled full of books. Funny story about Dr. Wiersbe. All right. The next book is a book called Cold Case Christianity by J. Warner Wallace.
Great book, by the way.
This is...
If you haven't read it, you should read it.
It is a great book. J. Warner Wallace, the premise of the book is he is a cold case detective. That was his life's career, and he set out to prove that the Bible was false. That is the premise of the book. He set out to prove that all of the stories of the New Testament, that the Bible is a false book. And as he did it, he started studying the Scripture, and through all of that, he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He realized that there isn't the he's coming at it from a detective's point of view, where two people can describe the same event and they will describe different things. And he looked at the Gospels and realized, as these men were describing things, they were describing it from their own point of view. And as through that, J. Warner Wallace came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we have translated that book into Spanish, and this has been a really good apologetic type of document that can be used. We've had J. Warner Wallace speak at some of our book conferences, and some of that stuff is available online. Another one of our books that we have produced is a book called Dynamic Heart, a book that is used in counseling. And a number of the things that you'll see back there on the back table are books that are used in counseling. These are some little booklets. We currently have 40 of these little booklets that are 24 to 32 pages in length, that if a counselor was counseling on a particular subject, they could give that book to deal with that particular issue. We have six more of those that will be going to press very, very soon. Some of you have heard about the ministry of EBI for many, many years. And through us being here and talking with us, EBI built our ministry dealing with customers on a one-on-one basis. Pastors, missionaries, nationals would communicate with us. They would call, and then as through the advent of the internet, they would contact us via the web and get on our website and order books. So we would deal with our customers on a one-on-one basis. About 5 years ago, we really made a change. Well, it was before that, but the 5 years ago, we really started moving in kind of a different direction for EBI. We have been pushing for in-country distributors, so people can have access to our material in country. One of the ways that we've done that is we have brought on staff a young man, Armando Melo, that is a product of mission work. He was saved in Mexico City under the work of some missionaries that were there, brought up through the church, went to college, and then Armando was seeking what God would have for him, and he was seeking further education. And he ended up being one of the first cohort group that went through our MABS program that Baptist Mid-Missions was working at that time with Piedmont College. The professor that was over that that group that Armando Melo was in was a professor that some of you may be familiar with, a guy by the name of Gary Sammons. And Gary poured his life into those students. And now we're a few years past that, and Armando is now our representative throughout all of Latin America in setting up distributors and pushing our material and getting it into the hands where people can have better access to it. This is kind of what our orders look like now in big groups. The next one has, when they leave our facility, they are in boxes, they are wrapped, there's paperwork on each one of those that help get our material through the customs process into those different countries. If a custom agent wants to check what's in the boxes, he can take the box, he can look at the box number, he can open up that box and start looking through that. He can go to the paperwork will tell him, he can go to that box number, and that the paperwork will tell him exactly what's in that in that box. So when these products leave our facility, it has all of the paperwork to help them get through customs into these different countries. This was just before COVID. COVID has changed our world. That's I don't need to spend a lot of time talking about that. But these are displays and conferences that we were doing. We have one set up. There's a huge conference that's coming up in September that at this particular moment is on. So we have 2,500 packets that we are putting together for that conference. But that, back up one more. This picture right here, there was a picture similar to this that was taken in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, when I was at a conference about 10 years ago. And this picture and one similar to this that was taken in San Pedro Sula, this one is really, really challenging to me because I feel like I'm just a regular guy. But I look at that table and I look at this other picture that was taken in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. There's nothing on that table that didn't go through my hands in the print shop. And I'm thankful that God has chosen to use me and my abilities to bring honor and glory to Him. And I'm thankful for that. The reason I threw this one in was this was at a conference in Mexico, and I did the they asked for a sign, so I did the design. We sent it down to Mexico in a PDF, and they had it printed down there at that conference. The next one is our director speaking at that particular conference in Mexico. Other than Tom, does anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any questions about the ministry of EBI this morning that I can attempt to answer? Yes. How difficult? If the paperwork is correct, well, The way we tried to get things through customs 10, 15 years ago, it was very difficult because we were Americans trying to send stuff to these foreign countries. And that was very difficult for that to take place in that direction. What helps a lot with customs is if you have a national on the ground, like the Silvas in Honduras, they place an order. They fill out the paperwork that they are wanting this material. Okay. And then they send us the order, and we put together the order, and we do all of the American documentation. But as far as getting it to them, they're the ones that are pulling it into the country, not us pushing it. And that makes a world of difference when it comes to that, to the customs process. It's not we pushing, it's them pulling, and nationals pulling. So if you have them in Honduras that are pulling the material, if you have Armando in Mexico pulling our material into Mexico, and he goes to all these other countries and sets up and pulls our material into those countries, it's a lot easier. And then having all of the correct documentation, that will keep it from getting held up in customs. We had an order that went to Stan in Peru, and what was the deal with that particular order. There was, they had ordered a bunch of stuff from us, and they had ordered a whole bunch of songbooks from, I think it was from the Spanish group that of Majesty Music, the same company that has your hymn books. And the paperwork, somehow the paperwork, they tried to combine the orders so that they would ship together, but there was two sets of paperwork, and that confused customs, and it got held up. And it set in customs for like 8 months, where they were trying to figure out, you know, what the order actually was, and they had to redo the paperwork to try to get it through. If the paperwork is correct, sometimes it goes right through, and sometimes it gets held up. But most of the time, it goes through really well. As far as going to Honduras, we know that the best thing to do is have it on a pallet, have it shrink wrapped together, have it less than 500 pounds. And it will go through very, very quickly. We have to, everything that we send them has to be invoiced. So we have to put a cost on it. Even if we send them those catalogs, we have to cost, that has to have a cost, so that it can be on an invoice, so that they know that it's there. Everything, you have to be really careful, like what you throw in as paper, as packing, because that's the kind of stuff that would cause them to have grief on that.
Back up just a second. Explain how it used to be that the material got from here to there through friends and missionaries, or whatever. They understand the difference.
Okay, lots of times we would either ship it to them, which was very, very expensive, or many times the way that our material got to these foreign countries is pastors and family that would travel to see other missionary family in these countries. And so that was a question years ago that people would always ask us, is how much of our material is goes to Latin America? And we would say we don't know for sure, because at that point, years ago, a lot of our material would be shipped to you know, Pastor Mike Martin in Cumberland, Iowa. He would get it, and he would put it in his luggage when he's going to visit, you know, a missionary in Argentina or something like that on a missions trip. So that's
And then they had to deal with customs when they went through, right?
They could either deal with customs, or it would be a part of their luggage that may or may not. An individual carrying things in, they would either claim it or not claim it, and sometimes it would go in and not get claimed as carrying stuff in. And back then there was a personal person. You know, if you were going to these countries, you might choose personally, you might choose to grease the palm to get into these countries. You pay a little bit, you know, to somebody to get into the country. We as missionaries, we have a policy that we're not allowed to do that. But if any of you have ever traveled in Latin American countries, if you want anything done, you know, just a little bit of tip along the way will get a lot of a lot of things done. Any other questions this morning? We don't have near as many volunteers as we used to. We have a couple of volunteers that are very, very faithful. I have one that is there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. He'll come in about 8:30 in the morning, and he'll stay till, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on those days. And he just helps me in whatever production that I have going on at the time. We have some collating that we have volunteers from. Those mini books, that's like a 5 or 6 week period when I'll have lots of volunteers come in and help us, because I print those on great big sheets. I cut them down, fold them, and then collate them together, staple them, fold them, and then trim them out so that they're done. But I'm able to produce those at a very, very reasonable rate because of having volunteers help me in that process. I'm thankful for the, I'll come back. I'm thankful, I am thankful for people that read our prayer letters, that pray for us, that communicate with us. An example that I am just overwhelmed thankful for, I mentioned in a prayer letter about a year ago, we were driving a 2006 Chrysler Town and Country that was showing signs of really beginning to die. And I just mentioned in our prayer letter, Lord, that we would have wisdom to know when was the right time to let it die, or I didn't want to, the last, you know, 6 weeks that I owned the vehicle, I didn't want to put, you know, a power steering pump and a alternator and a new transmission and then let the thing die and have all that money tied up. So I was just asking people to have wisdom. And one of our pastors picked up on that, and his little church took up an offering of about $1,400 for a new vehicle for us. And then he goes, our little church took up an offering of about $1,400. He says, give me some of the names of some of your other supporting churches. And he says, I will contact them. And he did. And we are praising the Lord that our vehicle that we are driving now, the Flex, that the Ford Flex that we're driving now, is almost primarily paid for by churches and individuals that just out of the kindness of their heart gave us that vehicle. And we just praise the Lord for that.
Do you have any special testimonies as to the fear labors?
Yes. I can't remember what slides are after. What example would you give to that, Lori? Yeah, the one that's created the most letters in the last couple of years is this systematic theology, because that's not something that was available to them. And there's many people in Latin America that were really excited about getting this tool that was able to help them. If I think about that for a little while, I may come back with a little bit better an answer to that question. We need to. I want to challenge you in a couple of different areas. Your Bible reading was in the book of Mark, and one of my colleagues uses that passage because that passage uses one of those unique words. After Jesus had healed the man named Legion, it says he departed and began to publish. How did he publish? He was making Jesus' deeds known to those that were around him. He was making those deeds known to those around him. Well, how can we make Jesus' deeds known around us? We can, with confidence, we can have God's word, and we can know that God is going to use His word, His tools, to bring honor and glory to Him. I'd invite you for just a few minutes to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to key in on verse 17, but at just a couple of verses before verse 17, Paul is writing here, and he says in verse 14, he says, "Now thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of a knowledge by us in every place." In the last couple of years, I haven't watched near as much sports as I did in the past. But this verse talks about this verse 14 talks about giving God thanks for this triumph or this victory. We as Christians, we can have victory in Jesus. We can have this victory. Now, you may think of your favorite sportscaster and how they would describe a winning point or a scoring point of a football game or a baseball game. You know, I think of one when I was a small child. It's out of here. It's a home run. Okay. We as Christians, we are promised this here in this verse. It says, "Now thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph in Christ." We can have victory. And then it tells us in verse 15 and 16, it describes about this sweet-smelling savor that we, having victory, we are going to create a smell or a savor to God, and it's going to be a great smell. And we can talk about a grill and the food being cooked on the grill and being smelling great, okay? But I want us, as we talk about this victory, then we come down to verse 17. And that's the verse that I want us to key in on this morning. And I want to apply that to us and our lives and the ministry of EBI very, very quickly. We are not as many, okay? Not as many. The Bible tells us that you know, narrow is the way, and wide is the way to destruction, okay? We at EBI, we're not as many. There's not tons of other Christian organizations. We're not saying we're the only ones, but we're not as many that are producing gospel literature. We're not as many, and we are not corrupting to make it so that others will want to see the things that we are producing. We're thankful that we're not as many, and we are not corrupting, but it says, as of sincerity. You know, this is a phrase that I pulled out of this verse. You may know somebody that is sincere. You may know somebody that is sincerely wrong. Okay? We are not as many. We are not corrupting. We are doing it of the Word of God, but of sincerity. And then this phrase, as of God. Okay? We realize that God is working in our life. And He, you know, I keep wanting to relate this back to that first verse that I talked about back up in verse 14. It's all because of this victory that we can have in Jesus. But as of God, and then the next phrase, in the sight of God. Do we act the same way when we know we're being watched? The example that I like to use here, do we drive the same way when we look in the rearview mirror and there's a policeman behind us? Do we, as of God, in the sight of God? And then the last phrase, speak we in Christ. We all have the opportunity to share the gospel with those around us. We all have the phrase that I use with our students in student ministry at Southside Baptist Church is, we all have a different circle of influence as we share the gospel with those around us. We have the opportunity, Lori and I have the opportunity to work with students in our local church. We speak Christ to them. We also, Lori and I, have become involved with our local Youth for Christ. I couldn't think of the phrase. We are our local Youth for Christ ministry in our town, which has an outreach amongst the black community. And on any given Friday night, Lori and I and one or two other leaders are in a building with about 50 black kids, and we get the opportunity to live Christ in front of them. And we get that opportunity. One Friday night, it's been a couple of months ago now, one of the kids said to me, he says, why do you guys come here on Friday night? And I said, I can't think of anything else to do on Friday night. He looked at me, and I go, I can't think of anything else to do on Friday night. And he's like, really? I go, no. I says, the reason I'm here is because I love Jesus Christ. And you know what? I want you to love Jesus Christ. And I want you to see what Jesus Christ is all about. And we've had the opportunity to witness to a number of those kids. One of them came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and was baptized, not in our church, but in another one of the churches in our community, and it's been interesting to see him begin to grow, and we're excited about that. As far as EBI, we're not as many. We're not corrupting. We do it with sincerity. We, in the sight of God, we are speaking Christ. I pray that that might be a challenge to every single one of us here, that we might take those aspects of this verse and apply them to our lives, or as I say, our circle of influence, so that we can speak Christ to a lost and dying world. Because there are many around us that do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's given each one of us an opportunity. We get to do it in a couple of different areas, both ministry, EBI, and in our personal lives, serving Him in that particular area. I challenge you to take this and just apply this verse to your own heart, to your own life. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. Thank you for being able to be here, being able to share what you have been doing in the ministry of EBI, and then also be able to take this truth. Pray that each one of us might see the need of taking Christ to a lost and dying world. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to share today. I pray that you might guide and direct throughout the rest of this service and this afternoon. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.